Oh my goodness. Are you kidding me? The project and the idea of this whole story might seem a little outrageous. The idea that a guy has to somehow round up all the animals in the world. You know, it's amazing. Last week we started this series. We launched it. And it was April showers and May flowers. And I'm preaching about a flood. And you know, isn't God, does he have a sense of humor or something? Because has it rained this week a little bit? I'm thinking, really, we don't need a personal illustration here. But we've had flooding like we haven't had in 23 years. I mean, the swinging bridge. I remember living up there in 1992. And I remember the water being right to the base of that. And somebody who sent me some pictures said, look at this. I said, that's funny. I'm preaching on the flood. And I thought about that. God, okay, really, I'm preaching on the flood, so we're getting a little bit of rain. I think next week I'm just going to throw this out. I'm going to preach on Solomon's gold. Anybody with me on that? And we'll just let God start raining down the gold, okay? Why not? I mean, after all, good grief. It has rained and just stormed. I'm thinking, okay, God, we got it. We don't need personal illustrations every time we do a sermon here. But God seems to be doing that because we live through this stuff. It's real. It's alive every day. A flood. Are you kidding me? 40 days, 40 nights. It rained, and he had to get all these animals together. The call of the wild. Do you know what it would take to call wild animals and do this kind of stuff? What it would take to call the wild and animals? I got to thinking about that. I'm thinking, here's Noah, and God says, I'm going to bring all these animals to you. Okay. And then I got to thinking, it probably wasn't that hard. Because, you know, Noah had an example. Do you realize that Noah's dad, Lamech was alive and well. Guess who was his great-great-grandfather who he knew for 56 years before he died? His name was Adam. Noah's dad, Lamech, knew Adam. Adam bounced Noah's dad on his knee as a little baby. He was raised hearing stories like this. Hey, guess what, Lamech? I walked with God. I was in the Garden of Eden. He made me. He breathed in. What was God like? I can tell you all about him. I knew him for years and years in the Garden of Eden. Isn't that amazing? Here's what's even more amazing, is that when Adam was alive and he's telling all the stuff to Lamech, Lamech starts telling his son Noah, who came along. He says, I got to tell you, Grandpa, great-great-grandpa used to tell me all these stories. And one of those stories is this, Genesis 1:26. In Genesis 1:26, it says, God said, let's make man in our own image. You know who can tell the story? Adam. He's telling this to Lamech, who's now can tell this to his son. Let's make man in our own image, in our likeness. Look at this. Let them rule over the fish of the seas, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over the earth, and over all the creatures. Dominion. You know, I think Noah's saying, I got to bring in all these animals. God used to do this with my great-great-grandfather. I know that he ruled over the animals. Getting elephants and all these things, I mean, what's the big deal? What an amazing thought. Did you know that? That this about him, it was right there. He was 56 years old when Adam died. That's how old Lamech was. And then he has his son Noah. And here's Noah. He's got to round up wild animals. Do you realize how hard it is? I think Noah is a type of Christ. I think he's a type of Savior. He's trying to get all the people all onto this boat to save them. He's trying to get everybody on board. And it's kind of like Christ is trying to do with us today. Do you know how hard it is to get people on board with you? Have you ever tried to talk to me? Hey, listen, folks, you're going to die one day. Oh, we're not going to die. You should think about what you're going to do for eternity. Get on the boat with Jesus. Oh, I don't need that Jesus stuff. I'll just figure it out. Listen, folks, when the flood comes, you're going to want a boat. You're going to want a life saver. You're going to want a life Jesus in your life when that comes. That day's coming. And, I mean, he's out there for 100 years building this boat going, come on, come on. And the only ones who show up, meh, moo. These are my animals. That's the best I can do. All these animals. You know how hard it is to get animals? You know how hard it is to get people on board? It is so hard to get people on board. Come on, people. God wants to show you the adventure of your life. He wants you to get on board with something that's so much greater than anything you could have ever dreamed of. But to do that, I thought, I need some help of my kids to talk about how it is. I mean, Noah's there and he's like, okay, I got to get two of every kind of creature. I got to get these animals on board. And so he starts calling them. So here we go. Let's go ahead and bring in my first buddy here. He's going to help me out this morning. Come on, Bear. Come on, Bear. I'm going to bring my bear in. So I'm going to bring a bear in. Bear, come here, bud. Come on up here. There you go. And so he's going to help me out. Come on up here. Come here, Bear. Come on up here. That a boy. Hi there. Sit. Sit down. Hey, sit. That a boy. Stay. Look at you. You did so good. Good boy. I know. Sit down there. Sit. That a boy. You did a good shake. Shake. Here. Let's shake. Oh, no, no. Wait, what? Domesticated. You're doing so good. Stay right there. Just stay right there. You know how hard it is? And yet, he called these animals. Now, this one's domesticated. The Bible says they were all wild. This is my bear. You are my bear, aren't you? Come here. Come on up here. Ah, you're my buddy. All right. Sit down there. Sit down. Stay right there. Now, it's amazing. Sit down. Stay. Stay right there. Stay. Now, what's amazing about this is, oh, wait, I'm missing something. Male and female. Come here, Mikey. Come on up here, girl. Come on. Here we go. There we go. Hey, girl. Hey, come here. Come here. Mikey, come here. Mikey, come here. Bear, sit down. I need you to sit down. I need you to sit down. Mike, come here. Sit down. Sit down. Mike, sit down. Leave him alone. Mike, sit down. See, it was a whole lot easier when it was just me and him. Now we got a woman involved in the situation. Where are you going? Mike, come here. Come up here. Come here. Hi, girl. Stay here. Please stay here. Sit. Thank you. Women don't usually listen to me very well, but I don't do well. Good job. Stay there. See, what happens is he got two of every kind of animal. You know how hard it is to get two of every kind of animal? No, 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 no. Come over here. You know how much we tend to wander in our life? Really? Come here. Mike, come here. Mike, come on up here. Come on up here. And she's distracting you, isn't she? Women will do that. Mike, come here. How hard was it? This is just two animals. He had every kind of... Mike, come here. Sit. Please stay. That's better. Just two animals. And he had... You're doing good. She's not behaving. And God made Adam, and then he made Eve. I'm not saying anything. I don't want any hankies flying. Preach it, brother, preach it. But I will say this. Sometimes things get distracting, and it's hard to keep focus because you know how hard it is to get people on board? And he had all these animals. There's so many distractions. He was doing just fine till she comes along and does this, right? All right, you guys are doing good. Hey, you know what? Hey. Hey, Bear. Mike. Oh, now you sit. What changed? What? What do you think? What do you think changed her mind? A little incentive. And here's the incentive. It's amazing. It's amazing how God is trying to get us all on board with him. He wants to save our lives and take us on the adventure of our lives, save us from destruction. You know what we tend to do? We tend to just wander off. Oh, look at people. And you know what God does? Because honestly, we're just like this. Seriously, until something better comes along, we are distracted. And God, the Bible says, it is his loving kindness that leads us to repentance. Oh, I know. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Sit. Stay. Stay. Leave it. Leave it. Come get it. All right, good job. Go ahead and give them a hand. Right down there, guys. Go kennel. Go kennel. Go kennel. Go on. Go kennel. Go on. Go follow her. Go follow her. You do that anyway. All right. Thanks, Spencer. Isn't that amazing? God wants to do things in our lives, but sometimes we're so distracted. And I love it because God comes along and He puts rainbows and He puts sunsets and He puts skies in our lives. He puts love in our lives. He brings stuff into us. And at that moment, we kind of sit all starry-eyed and go, finally, God has our attention. And it's in that moment that He speaks to us. And that's what God wants to do. Adam came along and he knew what it was to have good things and then sin into the world. And since that point, man and every thought of his heart was evil. The Bible says every inclination. It's not hard to know there's evil in this world. But I learned a few things from this story and I want to share them with you this morning. The first thing I learned is this. There is no one that God can't save. There's no one that God can't save. Isn't that great news? Think about what He put on the boat. Did you realize that on that boat there were scorpions? There were vipers? Really? You mean I know people in my life that have a sting? They are so evil and so mean. I know people whose mouths are full of poison, and there's no way God's going to save them. I want you to know that God can save anyone. Amen? There is no one that God can't reach. I've watched people get saved even recently in the last few weeks. That people have said, they'll never go to church. They'll never accept God. They've said to me, I will never go to church. I'll never accept God. And God says, I can save anyone. Do you know who was on the boat? There were snakes. There were vipers. There were lions. There were tigers. There were bears. There were. They were all on the boat. Because God can save anybody. I love the scripture in Luke, or I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 6:2. In 2 Corinthians 6:2, for He says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. Do you know what? This is God talking to you, by the way. God says, I hear you. I will save you. And look what He says. I tell you that now is the time of salvation. Today is the day of God's favor. In other words, get on board. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't miss the boat. That's what I learned, that God can save absolutely anyone. The second thing I learned from God is this. We're all not on the same level. This will be huge. Guys, I think God has something great for you today. Are you ready for this? We're not on the same level spiritually. We're in different places. Do you know on this boat, let me describe the ark to you real quick. This room is 50 feet wide. The ark was 75 feet wide. Okay? That's a big boat. So take this and half of the next room. That's how big the ark was. Now, the ark was 450 feet long. This room is 90 feet long. You got to get another 360 feet. In other words, you need to go another four of these rooms that way, over to the other side of the parking lot. It was 45 feet high. It had three levels. An amazing architect build from a man and his three sons, or Steve Carell and some giraffes and monkeys. It's an amazing build. Think about this. Three levels, all the animals, pairs in the world. And here it is. We're not all on the same level. There's level one. By the way, he had three sons. You know what those sons probably did? Hey, you and your wife, you got level one. You and your wife, you got level two. You and your wife, you got level three. You're kidding. What are we going to do? How long are we going to be in this boat? Just get on board. How long? Do you trust God for an adventure? Absolutely. 10 months locked up in this boat with all these animals. Oh, my, yeah. Forget the lions and tigers and bears, but just, oh, my. 10 months. I think each day these guys had to go take care of their chores with their wife. We're not all on the same level. I'd like to have been on the level with the dogs and cats. I don't think I want to be on there with the hippopotamuses. I was in a zoo one time and I saw what hippos do. When they do it, their tail spins like a helicopter and shoots it at people. They spray their feces at people. They're on the boat for 10 months. Who got level two? Not my level. I'm on level one. I got the dogs. We're all on different levels. You know, some of you today are on a rocky ledge. You've been climbing this mountain with God, and you're at this level where you kind of got, I don't know how you got there, but you know it's a tough place for you. Some of you are in tough places. And if you're in a tough place today, you got two choices. You can go, whoa. And you can look up to God and God says, come on, call of the wild. And you go, okay. Or you can say, no, I'm not going any further. This is Christianity? Really? I'm on the ledge here on a horrible place in my life. I got two choices, to keep going with you, keep climbing, or to jump. There's a lot of people who either jump or just sit there. Because they're scared to do anything else. They're not sure they can trust God. I understand you may be in a place where you don't know how to trust God. And God's saying, come on. Some of you might be in a meadow. You've gotten to a really wonderful place in your Christianity. God's done something wonderful. And I mean, you got a nice brook there and some trees. And you're on the mountain and you found this meadow. And God says, come on. You say, no, I'm staying here. And God goes, nobody stays here. This is just part of the journey. Can I tell you, wherever you're at, aren't you just a little bit curious of what's ahead? Aren't you just a little curious to say, come on. And God says, come on, calls the wild. Let's go. Let's get on board. And you go, well, what's going to happen? I don't know. How long is it going to take? I don't know. For Noah, it was 10 months, and it was a year before he even opened the door. It was 10 months to find the land. It was a year before he opened the door. I don't know how long it's going to be in my life, but I know this. I trust God, and I can't wait to see what's next. It can be a cliff, or it can be a meadow, or it can be the top of the mountain looking at things I've never seen before. But I can't wait to see what's next in this journey. Wow, we're all at different levels. Can I tell you, wherever you're at, keep going. Wherever you're at, keep going. Don't give up. Don't stop where you're at. The third thing I've learned. Oh, by the way, we're not at the same level. When God asked Noah to build this boat, he built it without an engine. His trusting God was, hey, let's get in a boat that doesn't have an engine. And there's no, and trust me, the elephants weren't rowing. He got into a boat and floated for 10 months wherever God takes him. The only thing I can compare that to is take a carnival cruise and see if you can get in something without an engine. You guys saw that this summer. I was on that 2 years ago on that ship. And I went, I'm glad I didn't get on that this summer. You're on a boat floating out there. Can I tell you, make it an adventure. Life is an adventure. You're going to have those things. But we're not all at the same level. The third thing I learned is it's a whole lot easier to get through to people or to get through to the animals, to the call of the wild, when they're small. I don't think Adam got full-size elephants, by the way. I don't believe Noah got full-size elephants. I think he got baby elephants. That's just my personal opinion. Bible doesn't say. But I'm thinking to myself, why in the world is God going to send him full-size elephants? Why is he going to send him full-size tigers? How about these little baby tigers and the two, you know, kitten, you know? That's a whole lot easier to feed and take care of. Now, I don't know what God did, but I'll tell you this. I think God wants us and works with us when we're a whole lot younger. It's a whole lot easier when we're a whole lot smaller. And if you don't believe me, the family that just came up and earlier today, you must become like little children to see the kingdom of heaven. I think God likes us when we're younger. And that doesn't mean physically younger. It means young at heart. I think we need to become like little children in our hearts. What is it about children? What is it that God says, I love, you need to become like that. If I'm going to rescue you and save you, you can't even see the kingdom of heaven if you don't think like a child. So I got to think like a child. How do I think like a child? Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yep. How do you know? Because he is. How do you know that? Because my mom said so. Dad, look out! As I'm walking by, what? Kids up on the banister. Dad, catch me! Whoa! I wasn't ready for that. Yeah, but you're my dad. You always catch me. My dad is a hero. My dad can beat up giants, the boogeyman, catch me, and do anything in this world because he's my dad. Think like a child. Isn't that interesting that Jesus says, unless you become like little children in your thought process, in your faith process, you will never see the kingdom of heaven. And if a little child looks at a mountain and says, that mountain can go away, how come? Because I think so. And God says, now you're thinking like a little child. What changes? We get old. That's what changes. I don't mean we get just physically old. I mean we get old. We get bitter. Children don't get bitter. Children play with each other, punch each other in the face, cry, get so mad, they hate each other's guts, wish your guts would fall all out over the pavement, and the next day they got big wheels in the backyard and they're playing. adults do that, and I don't talk to you for the next 6 years of your life. And I'll find other people to hate you too, and I'll start gossiping and saying, do you know that Pastor so-and-so? As adults, kids don't do that stuff. Kids don't look at black and white. They don't look at color. Kids don't look at all this other goofy stuff. We start trying to put these rules on kids, and you got to watch out for your Pop-Tarts looking like a gun. Kids don't think that way. They're not thinking terrorism. They're thinking I'm playing. They're thinking Barbie dolls and G.I. Joes. They're thinking big wheels in mud. They're thinking you can actually eat a mud pile, and it's good for you. Every puddle needs to be jumped in. Every pair of pants need grass stains. They're children. And they love you and they trust you as adults with everything. And then we grow up and we don't trust anyone. No wonder why we have trouble trusting God with our lives, our finances, our children, our jobs. I learned that it's a whole lot easier getting small animals on the boat than big animals. That's what I learned. I learned that we need to become like little children. God help us be little kids. God help us jump. Maybe one day you'll jump up on the stair banister and jump into your kid's arms. Catch me! And they're like, what? Boom. Whoops. Told you to catch me. I caught you a million times. Just catch me once. We learn to be bitter, hateful, distrustful, old, cynical, sarcastic, and brutal. We build fences to keep criminals out. We put alarm systems in to protect our little girls from bad things. The bumps in the night, the hatred, the stealing, the lying, the discord, the cheating governments, the corrupt Wall Street, the neighbor down the street, and this and that. And you know what? My animals don't do that. My dogs came walking up here, and they didn't even care. They just bear saw me, and he says, hey, there's my hero. There's my master. That's the one who feeds me. That's the guy. That's the guy who lets me in when mama goes to bed. That's the guy who opens a sliding glass door in a rainy storm when my feet are all muddy, tracking across the linoleum floor into the living room, laying down on the carpet with my stinky fur that's going to somehow emanate right in, and it's going to get right into the carpet. She's going to know in the morning the dogs were in the house because it's going to stink. But he's the guy that sneaks me in and rubs my belly, and he's the only one who'll scratch the inside as well as the outside of my ear. He's the one who protects me. He's the one who feeds me. He's the one that even sometimes when he spanks me, I'm still going to wag my tail because he's the one. Why can't we become like little children, or at least be as honest and simple as animals? Isn't that amazing? I learned this from Noah today. Isn't that great? I also learned this. You can praise God in the storm. The last thing I learned in here is you can praise God in the storm. You know, Noah, did anybody pick up on the story and go, hey, I never saw that before. I thought it was two of every kind of animal. It was of every kind of unclean animal. He took seven of every clean animal. Well, what does that mean? It means this, that Noah and his wife and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives all needed to eat something for the next 10 months. And so they took clean food. But also the clean animals also represented this. The first thing Noah did when he landed and that door opened, he built an altar and he offered a sacrifice up unto the Lord. Wow. He was praising God in the midst of Armageddon. He didn't know when that door was going to open, if he'd find settled in there bones of all of his neighbors and friends and people he knew, cousins and relatives, next door neighbors, city officials. Noah had no idea that every single human was dead. And yet, he praised God. Listen, folks, you haven't hit Armageddon. And yet, he praised God the entire time because he trusted the Lord. I've learned this, that you can praise God in your storms. Cancer, I know it's cancer, but you know, I did a funeral last week for Brother Eddie Ross. He's the one who a few months ago was on this stage completely healed of cancer. I mean, the doctors, we don't even know what to say. He says, yeah, I was a dead man walking. A couple weeks ago, he said to his family, he says, you know what, I'm feeling great. The cancer come back. They were doing all the chemo, and then all of a sudden he was feeling great again, and they were doing all this stuff, his daughter and everybody taking care of him, and he said, stop. Just stop. And they all said, what? Well, what, Dad? Let me go. Even Mary and Martha had to let Lazarus go Jesus raised him from the dead. They still, the next time, had to let him go again. He had to die. He said, let me go. We had such an incredible service. I mean, I was up there. I was a fish out of water. We got going. I mean, the organist, she was playing. She was just playing. I mean, it was revival on that organ. She sang a song. I said, okay, now I'm going to get up and do the eulogy. Brother Eddie Ross, hallelujah. Went to be with the Lord. Praise God. Okay. By the time I got going, I mean, there were people praising God, standing up, shouting, clapping. I mean, we were having service. And I went, yeah, Brother Eddie's dancing in heaven. That's what he's doing. You see, you can praise God. He knew, and he told his family, he says, let me go. Let me go home. I know where I'm going. I know the adventure God's taken me on. I'm okay. I can praise God in my storm. Cancer doesn't rule my life. God, through Jesus Christ, who is raised from the dead, is the first fruit of all those that will be raised up. If he was raised up, I'm going to be raised up. I know where I'm going. Let me go. And he went to be with Jesus. Wow. Seven of every kind of clean animal, because he was still praising God. And you know what? Nobody told him. Moses hadn't been born yet. We didn't have the Ten Commandments. We didn't have the law. We didn't have the sacrifice. Where did he get it from? The Bible says he just did what was natural, that he knew in his heart was right. He worshiped God, period. I don't care what people say about, well, you got to have these rules, and if we don't have the Ten Commandments, we're going to... Can I tell you something? The Ten Commandments are great. They are an awesome thing. They are a great thing, and they still apply today. But I want you to know, in the heart of every man, woman, and child, there is a righteousness that needs to be brought forth by a rebirth. And we can live righteously because of Christ in us. So I just want to encourage you guys. Praise God in the storm. Even when life gets stinky. I'm sure every day in that boat. By the way, that boat was an amazing structure. I told you what it looked like. Underneath, they had these two bilges that they built, these two big gouges in both ends of the boat. About a third of the way through the boat here and a third here. They had these huge things. You know what that was for? When the water came in and splashed underneath, it would just kind of, the waves would go like this. Air was getting in those pockets, and then it was pumping air with that water up into those two giant holes underneath the boat. And in those things, Noah had built into all three levels like an air system. And it pumped fresh oxygen into every level where those animals were. Because trust me, that methane was probably getting a little potent. If you've ever been on a farm for 10 months, and where are you going to put the stuff? When life gets stinky, you can still praise God. Because he can still pump fresh air into your life. Wow, this is just good stuff, Pastor. You need to come back next week and hear about how deep is your faith. Because I can tell you how deep that water got and where the water came from and everything that Noah had to do in the meantime. But know this as we close. When you leave this place, it's a whole lot easier to get animals on board than it is people. My dogs had no issue. My dogs had absolutely zero issue walking. They didn't think, how embarrassing. They didn't think, oh, I got to stand up in front of you guys. They don't even know. In fact, Mikey, she was running around here figuring out who else she could sniff. She's like, who's over there? Who's over there? Who's over there? Bear's just up here going, I'm too old and tired to do all that. But all they wanted to do was see their master once again, call their name. They love it when I call their name. They know my voice. They love my voice. Why? Because I love them. And there's times when they get out and they take off running. And there's times when I have to say, come here, get on board, come here. Because there might be a car coming. And I'm just trying to save their life. Do you know how many times God is calling your name? And sometimes you're out there just running away. And God says, hey, come here. And if you'll hear and hearken to his voice, he'll save your life and give you the greatest adventure you've ever had. He'll bring you in sometimes on rainy days when no one else will. He might even rub you behind your ear. Your Father loves you more than you'll ever know. I can't even tell you how much God the Father loves you. I can tell you this. He at least loves you this much. I can tell you that. He loves you. If nobody's told you today that you are loved, know this. Beyond your wildest dreams and your greatest expectations, you are loved by your Father in heaven. And He will spoil you just to get you on board with Him. Let's stand together.